So we have covered a lot of ground over the last couple sessions, and I want to say thank you so much, man. I've had a chance to have a conversation with many of you, and it's been amazing to see how God is working in and through your lives right now. And Family Dirt is awesome. Would you just give all the team just an amazing round of applause right now and thank them for their work as well? It's awesome stuff, guys. So everybody say 18 summers. One more time, 18 summers. That's how much time we get with our kids, 18 summers, and boy, does it go quickly. Remember not too many years ago, I was over at Catalina Island speaking for a Youth for Christ outreach camp. Bunch of high school students were there, about 300-400 of them. And there was this one guy, I was out on the dock one day, kind of watching all the activities and the boating and the snorkeling going on. And he was a big guy. His name was Max, and he came walking down the dock, and the whole dock kind of shook. And I looked over my shoulder, and Max pulls up next to me on the railing. And he leans over, and he looks me in the eye, and he says, "Hey, speaker dude." And I said, "Hey, camper dude." He says, "I want you to know I'm listening to everything you're saying, and I'm not buying any of it." And I went, "That's encouraging, Max. Thank you very much." And I said, "Max, I want you to know something. That doesn't change my love for you or God's love for you." And he said, "Yeah, right, whatever." And he turned and he walked off back down the dock. And I watched him that night at our meeting. And he sat over in the far left corner. And he was just kind of oblivious to all that was taking place, kind of looking down, trying to ignore what was taking place, what was happening. The next day, the exact same thing happened again. I'm out on the dock kind of messing around with some of the students, and Matt comes rocking out, and the dock kind of shakes, and he leans up next to me, and again he says, "Hey, speaker dude." I said, "Hey, Max, dude." He says, "I want you to know I'm still listening, but I totally reject everything that you're talking about." I went, "Okay, Max, but I want you to understand that doesn't change my love for you or God's love for you." He said, "Yeah, right," and he turned and he walked off. A little bit later that afternoon, I found Max, and I kind of walked up to him this time, and I said, "Max, I'm just kind of curious, like, who are you? What's your story?" And wow, I don't know if I was ready for his story. He'd shared about how he had been bounced around from foster care family to foster care family, how he decided early on that his life really wasn't worth much. Nobody really cared about him. Nobody really loved him. He showed me the marks on his arm where he decided to start cutting and messing around with that. I said, "Max," I said, "what an amazing story, dude." I said, "No wonder none of this makes sense to you. You don't know what it's like to be loved." That night, we had one last meeting together, kind of like our time together this morning. Max was sitting in his usual corner next to his counselor, and I stood up for one last time, and I said, "Today, this morning, maybe, just maybe, it's your opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to receive his love, to be embraced by him, and to love him back." And as I gave that invitation time, I looked over, and I saw Max just kind of wrestling with this idea that maybe, just maybe, there's a God that loved him, and maybe, just maybe, there was something more for his life. And I asked any of the students that wanted to come forward and to hang out with me to do that so I could pray with them. When I opened up my eyes, I looked over and I saw all of these tears streaming down the face of Max. And I watched him as he leaned over and he began to crush his counselor in this big, giant bear hug. And then he turned and he looked at me. And he got up out of his seat and he began to walk forward in front of all of his peers. And he stood right in front of me with just these watery eyes. And he began to lean over, and I'm kind of thinking to myself, "Oh, this is going to hurt." And his face was a mess, and he didn't know what to do, and it was kind of an awkward moment, and he kind of leaned in, and he kind of put his arms around me, and I hugged him back. And he said, "Speaker dude, this morning, I'm saying yes to Jesus." It was an awesome moment. And what Max knew he needed was he needed a God family. He needed a family that had said yes to God, that said yes to Jesus, that he could be incorporated into a family that would love him the way God loved him and that would show him the love of Jesus in his life. And this morning, in our last moments together, I wanted to share some very practical steps of what maybe that could look like for you. Because here's what I know. 18, 17, 16, 15, 14. The preschool years are now over. 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. Elementary school years are now gone. Those summers are now history. 6, 5. Junior high, that crazy junior high. Do we have any junior hires out here? Crazy junior high years that I get to spend time with every day. The blink of an eye, they're gone too. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. High school, it's over. 18 summers are now history. So what do we do? How do we capture those 18 summers as a family? How do we lock that down? How do we bolt it to the ground and say, we want to take the best shot we've got these 18 summers as quickly as they go? So here's a couple things I wrote down. As for me and my family, the first thing I've learned is this, having raised two adult children now, is the Jesus way is not the easy way, but it's the right way. Would you say that with me? The Jesus way is not the easy way, but it's the right way. Would you say that with me? The Jesus way is not the easy way, but it's the right way. If it was the easy way, everybody'd be doing it. If it was the easy way, man, that line would be super long, but it's not. It's a short line. Because most people, most families do not go the Jesus way. They go the world's way. That's the easy way. And so the first thing I wrote down is to have a family that's a God-first family. I mean, it's also a grace place. Would you say that with me? It's a grace place. There is not a perfect family. I know, I've looked. It doesn't exist. In fact, that's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the gospel, because there are no perfect families. I could even imagine Jesus' family, right, with his brothers. It was like, I'm sure it was a crazy place. I'm sure there were those days where Joseph and Mary went, really? Jesus, really? Boys, really? Come on. I could imagine being Jesus' brother watching when Jesus got his first bicycle or when he got his driver's license, right? And you're kind of thinking, wow, what was Jesus like as a teenager? There is no perfect family. But this is what I know our kids need from us. They need to know that it's a place of grace. They need to know that it's a safe place. They need to know that as God parents us, we will parent our children with grace, to be able to say, whoops, that's going to leave a mark. But to be able to recover from those worst lived moments and those accidents and those mistakes. Every family goes through those times. But what our kids need to know more than anything is that it is a place of grace. Mistakes will be made. Kids, look at me. Your parents are not perfect. They will make mistakes. I know, shocking, right? Parents, look at your kids right now and go, yeah, it's true. We will make mistakes. Now, parents, look at your kids and go, but you're going to make mistakes too. The second thing I want you to know is this, under a God-first grace place, it says it's important that you set the tone. It's important that as parents that we set the bar, not the world. And that in doing so, as hard as it is, that we will have a time, a family time, every single week. We kind of stumbled into this one a little bit. If you've heard me speak on this before, it's kind of a gift from God. You see, we were trying to figure out, what does it look like to do family devotions? And we did it horribly wrong for so many years. And our kids, bless their hearts, they kind of went along with it. But at the end, they're kind of like, whew, I'm glad that's over with. And then it was right around the junior high school time when God gave us this gift. And it kind of came, do you remember the show Blue Bloods? If you ever watch Blue Bloods, it's kind of a cool show because in every episode, there's this time where they're around the family table. And I love that. And I don't know who the writers are, but it's a brilliant little moment where they're around the family table and they're just talking about life. And Annette and I got this little idea. It was kind of this little tap on the shoulder by God that said, what if your family time looked a lot more like that? And so what we do during our family time, and you could take a little notes on this if you want. There were three things, three questions. The first question we would ask, because we want a discussion, we want a dialogue. The first question was simply this. Where has God shown up in your life this last week? A simple question, a discussion question. And for Duncan and Jesse, they would kind of like, and they kind of hem and haw a little bit. But believe me, after a couple weeks, they knew the question was coming. Where did God show up in your life this week? And they were able to start answering, well, you know, Dad, there was this one time I prayed about something, or this one situation I needed God to show up, or there's this time where Mom or I, we didn't know what to do, and we just asked God to give us some guidance, and he did. And it was such a cool moment. It was such a cool God moment, and that's where God has shown up in our life this last week. And what's so cool about these three questions that I'm going to share with you is that anybody could lead the family time. Even the kids, when they were younger, they said, hey, Dad, I'll lead family time tonight. All right, everybody, where did God show up in your life this week? Whoa, didn't see that question coming. The second question is this. How are you spending time with God this week? Are you reading scripture? Is there a little devotional? And if you don't know, YouVersion is amazing because there's all these like amazing, amazing devotionals in there. And there's devotionals for kids and teenagers, and they can just do it, and you can friend them. I have like about 200 student friends, and every time they finish one of the devotionals in there, I just kind of ping them back and I say, hey, great job, way to go. And you can kind of track it that way if you use YouVersion, if you're into electronics. But the question is such a cool question because sometimes the honest answer was, this was a lousy week regarding my devotional time. Well, let's talk about that. What got in the way? What was interfering? Oh, man, it was this and that, and life got crazy, and I was just tired, or I was kind of grumpy, or whatever. And we talk about those things. What was your devotional time? How did you spend time with God this week? That was question number two. Question number three, real simple. How can we pray for each other around this table right now? So we'd kind of think, and then we'd begin to pray for one another as they would share, you know, hey, this week I've got a test, or this week I've got a situation with a friend, or this week we've got a big game, whatever it was. And we would pray for one another. And what's so cool now that the kids are out of the house, we've actually expanded this time. And now we call it family and friends. And we'll have 10, 12 people around the table, and we'll be talking and say, okay, here we go. Question number one. What's God been doing in your life this week? Question number two, how are you spending time with God? Question number three, how can we pray for each other? And now even our friends that come over for family and friends time at the Higgy Hut, they hang out and they know, here come the questions. So family devotions, we have found, have been such an incredibly important time for us to speak into the life of our kids. The next one is simply this, teaching our kids to love God and to love people first and foremost. I love the winter theme at Hume, last winter. It simply said, that's it. And I could see Jesus as he was sharing these two big rocks, these two important commandments. They're saying, Jesus, what's the most important thing? Okay, number one, love God with all you've got. All right, and they're writing that down. Number two, love others. All right, we got that. What's next? Nope, that's it. And Jesus so brilliantly summarized the Ten Commandments with those two simple Jesus commandments, to love God and to love others. And if we could teach and instill that into the kids that are in our families to love God and to love others, man, we have done a good, good thing and a good, good job. John chapter 6, there's this little conversation that Jesus is having with some of the people around Galilee. And they had watched him do all these amazing miracles. And basically what they were saying is, Jesus, you're like this magic genie. We're going to call you Genie Jesus because every place you show up, you do amazing things. And Jesus, we want to do amazing things too. How can we do things that are really cool like you're doing things that are really cool? And here's how Jesus responded in John chapter 6. He says, no. You've missed the whole point. He says, don't focus on perishable things. Focus on things that are eternal, things that will last. And I think if there's anything in our family that we were kind of getting right, it was that we were able to keep our kids focused, our family focused on eternal things and not perishable things. Things that the Bible says that one day in 1 Corinthians will be considered hay, stubble, and straw. And when God puts them through the refiner's fire, they will not last. But to invest as a family into things that will last, things that will be eternal, non-perishable things. The next little thing I wrote down is simply this: have fun. Now, you're at Dirt, so you're having fun. Well, most of you are having fun. Some of you are going, wow, this is crazy out here. But to come and to have these adventures, I ask my kids every Monday in the classroom, guys, how was your weekend? 90% of my students go, it was boring. We didn't do anything. I just slept and played video games and nothing happened. And I thought, how criminal in these 18 summers that we get to spend with our kids, that we are raising a generation of bored kids. To be creative and to get outside of the box and to do some things that take energy, yes, to take dollars, yes. There was one time where we told the kids to pack up because mom and I were going to go away for a weekend. We had a little adventure to go on, but we needed to pack up because we were going to drop them off at some friend's house. So we all packed up into the car early in the morning, and we started to drive. And we kept driving, and we kept driving. And after a while, Duncan says, hey, Dad, where are we going? I said, oh, we're just going to drop you off so you guys, you know, mom and I go away so, you know, we could have a little away time. And, oh, okay. We kept driving, and we kept driving, and we kept driving. And then Jesse was like, where did you say we're going again? And we just kept kind of deflecting and deferring and right. And then I started taking like some little back streets to kind of throw them off the trail. And I said, hey, let's take a little bathroom stop. Where are we going? And then we took some back roads and we pulled into the Disneyland Hotel. And you should have seen their faces. They were like, are you kidding us? Like, is this really happening? I said, this is really happening right now. And you could have just, like, the expression on their face was like priceless. And we spent a couple days and we're at the Disneyland Hotel. And they just thought, like, that was so amazing that, number one, we fooled them, tricked them. And number two, that they had just a great, great couple day getaway with their mom and dad at Disneyland. Now, I got to be honest, it cost a couple dollars. We had planned for it for a couple months. But we knew if we could play the cards just right, that it would be one of those moments. And if you were to ask our kids today, hey, tell us about moments you've had with mom and dad, fun moments, I think they would be able to share quite a few fun moments that we have had together as a family. One of which has been camping. You know the best part about camping? It's when things go wrong. Because those are the memories you remember. Hey, remember that time we got stuck in the sand and it was like crazy? Remember that time the wind blew our tents over? And I will remember that trip to Gonzaga Bay for the rest of my life. I will remember when a big chubasco came through as we were camping on the beach and it literally ripped our tent in half. And we all piled into our little blazer at that time except for Dad. We don't know where Dad was. This was in the middle of the night. And the next morning, we wake up, and it was this beautiful morning on the Sea of Cortez. In the tent, all you could see is little patches of the green canvas. Yeah, that's how long ago it was. And all of a sudden, the green canvas began to move. And we're like, that's weird. There's no wind anymore. Why is the tent moving? And all of a sudden, Dad crawls out of the tent. We're like, yeah, Dad, that was awesome. You, like, slept in the tent in the middle of a sandstorm. That was, like, so cool. Listen to these words from Moses in Deuteronomy 4. Watch out. Be careful never to forget what you have seen. Do not let these memories escape from your mind as long as you live. Be sure to pass them on to your children and to your grandchildren. Some of my fondest memories of my grandparents was after church going to their house, and Grandma would always whip me up some breakfast before I went to work at Sports Chalet. And she would tell me stories, and Grandpa would tell me stories about growing up and what it was like coming over from the mother country. And I just cherished those moments. And they would talk about faith, and they would talk about how God had worked in their lives and how faithful he was. And all through the scriptures, Psalms, Moses and Deuteronomy and Exodus says, pass these stories along. Do not allow your family to forget, to lose its memory of what God has done faithfully in your family. Share with your kids when you came to Christ, what that decision time was like, if it was here at a dirt event or another Hume event or through your church or maybe as a young person in your family. Talk about these things with your kids. Build these memories. Have fun. And finally, decide to lose weight. Did the speaker just say I should lose some weight? Hebrews 12 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Can you imagine if you're part of the Rutz family and you're like at one of the races and you said, you know what, just for fun today, I'm going to throw 200 pounds in my backpack. Yeah, let's see how that goes. It would be horrible. And yet what God is saying to us, and it's just so much care and love, he's saying, look, get rid of the weight. Get rid of the baggage. Get rid of the excess, the things that you don't need, the temporal things. Focus on the eternal things. Build eternal memories. Make eternal decisions as a family. One of the greatest things that you can do, and just a few things to consider, and we'll close in a word of prayer. Some things to put a stake in. Number one, to have a zeal for God's house and God's family. I want to encourage you. I want to beg you. I want to plead with you to make church not optional. Even when we go on vacation, we find a church someplace. When we travel over to Hawaii, we have favorite churches. They know us now. They go, oh, you guys are back. Yeah, we're back. To find church, to find God's family, to have a zeal as Jesus had a zeal for those things. Number two, to have family time. To fight for it. It's not easy. It's not something everybody goes, yay, family time. This is so awesome. It's going to start off a little rough. But maybe by just having that simple conversation, asking those three questions, where has God shown up in your life this week? What have you been doing to spend time with God? And how can we pray for one another? Maybe you'll see God work in new and amazing ways. And number three is simply this, serve together. Find opportunities. If it's serving with the Hume family, if it's being a part of your church, if it's going on a missions trip in your community or over water, find places to serve. My kids have been marked by service trips, by ministry trips. They'll remember the time we were in Haiti and watching it at a supper where we were feeding about 120 kids that didn't have meals, this huge chicken dinner, and watching this older sister start to gather all the leftovers from the plates of these kids and scraping the leftovers into her bag. Because that was going to be dinner, and that was going to be breakfast, and that was going to be lunch for the next days ahead. And how heartbreaking it was. And my kids will always remember, they'll just go, Dad, remember that girl? I said, yeah, I do. Or, Dad, remember that family? We built that house for them in 3 days, and it started, like, snowing on the third day, and, like, how crazy it was. Yeah, I do. Duncan, Jesse, remember how you learned how to use a nail gun on those trips? Yeah, we did. And what it was like to be up there on the roof and climbing around, how fun that was. Yeah. Do you remember what it was like to hand the keys to that family who went from living into a little tiny shack into now living inside a beautiful new home? Yeah, Dad, we do. Because it's not just talking about our faith, but it's about living out our faith. And our kids need to see that happen. So here's what I want to do. And this is what I want to encourage us in as we close. Until God is the center of your heart, he will not be the center of your home. And so the first pit stop, the first checkpoint is just to ask the question, is God, is Jesus at the center of my heart? Because until that happens, he will not be the center of your home. There is no way that's going to happen. Do you remember I told you on the way up, I was listening to some radio? The guy I was listening to, and I never listened to him, but it just happened, he happened to be on the radio. It was a guy named Howard Stern. Do any of you know who Howard Stern is? Right? Yeah, right. Like, oh, that guy. And here's, this is what he said. He goes, oh, yeah, I was raised in a religious home. Now, my parents didn't buy into it. They just dropped me off. He said, what a joke that was. And I went, wow. No wonder he has such a distaste for God and to have a relationship with God, because that's all he knew. Parents telling him what he should do, even though the parents were not doing it themselves. This morning, I'm going to ask us, just as we close, to circle up as families. And maybe let's do this. Let's stand. And as a family, I want you to just kind of to circle up, huddle up a little bit. At our church, we call it cuddle up, but I don't want to freak you guys out, so we'll just call it huddle up. Huddle up as a family. Grab a hand or an elbow or an earlobe or whatever you're comfortable with. And if you don't have a family member, just grab another family member. Just grab somebody next to you and say, I'm going to be adopted right now. Yeah, there you go. Nobody goes alone. Not in God's family. Nobody goes alone. Would you pray this prayer with me? Father God, right now in the middle of the desert in California, we stand just to say we want to put a stake in it. Father God, we want to take this moment, this time as a family, with friends, with our family, Father, just to say, yeah, we want to stand for you. Father, we again just recommit our hearts and our lives to you, Father. We want you to work in us and through us. And Father, we want to capture these 18 summers that we have and make them count. We want to focus on the eternal, not the temporal, not the perishable. So Father, help us. Help us to navigate these years because they go so quickly. Help us to capture these moments, this gift that you've given to us. And Father, help us to continue to tell the stories, the God stories of your faithfulness and how you've worked in us and through us, how you've grown us, those times we've wandered away and wandered back. Father, to put all of it on the table. But Father, see our hearts right now. And Father, as we commit together as a family to go to church, to have a family time, to serve together, Father, would you take the commitments of our hearts right now and would you help us bolt them down, stake them down to the ground, and help them become a part of our story? So, Lord, we thank you for opportunities like this at Dirt to come and to hear from your word. Father, have our hearts just moved a little bit to recalibrate that compass, to negotiate the big rocks, and at the end of the day to say, yeah. So, Father, as we even travel home, because many of us have hours to go, maybe we begin the conversation now on the trip home and to ask the question, how do we do this, family? What does it look like? What is one thing we could do right now to help readjust our priorities? So, Father, thank you. Bless these families, Father, the commitment they've made to come out and to ride, to have fun, and to hear from you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. And as loud as we can, everybody said, amen. Amen.